Happy Easter, everyone. A special edition, I guess, of Drinks with Friends. Your hosts are here, Madison Ray.
And that guy, Rye. As he said, Happy Easter. For those of y'all who believe.
Where's your excitement? I mean, is risen, bruh.
Yo, this Easter has been fucking phenomenal, actually. Yeah. Because I woke up.
Okay, that's a good start.
That's a good way to start the day. Woke up. Did an egg hunt at home with the kids.
Yeah.
The little one took a nap. The big one was upstairs putting together his Easter Legos. I started hitting the vape pen, watched Sunday service at Coachella, and then watched the Celtics sweep the Pacers in the playoffs today.
So it's a good day for
it's
you.
It's a great day for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm happy.
That's cool.
I'm happy.
Praise Jesus.
Okay. So, of course, this podcast is made possible by our friends at Andro DSM. Power up.
And Susie Sweet Treats. Yeah. Secret ingredient is love.
Not cocaine. Hey, really?
He's a man of his word.
Really? High notes.
You know what it is.
You heard the high note. We've got some friends with us today.
Yeah, it's Drinks with Friends, so of course we got to have friends.
That's
right. We got drinks. Now let's introduce our friends.
Well, we got our returning friend. He's here. Madison made a good point that we can't do what we like to call a review show without him. So there's a spoiler for you.
Facts.
So your favorite problematic black guy.
Yes, bring me in. That's what I'm talking about. How y'all doing? Podcast world, what's going on?
I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
He made it.
All the way from the lake house, huh?
Yo, you're not gonna take that drink like that and pull me out there like that.
Living it up on jet skis.
I mean, no jet skis.
Oh, not yet.
Done.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We gotta take
you're
the
over.
Weight.
You're past your DJ Khaled phase.
Yeah, we gotta take the. I'm still trying to get back to it because it was amazing. It's just that you can't be heavy. And then when you're heavy,
I mean, Khaled does.
He's not
physics.
As heavy.
He must have. He can afford a different jet ski though.
But I mean, on the back of it, let me add that I had extra weight with me because my stepson was on it with me every time that I capsized.
I
so every time that's happened. I had,
so it's him. He threw you.
I had someone with
him. So you got to ride solo.
So I mean,
oops, I fell splash.
Noah, I love you with all my heart, but you can't ride on the back with me this year. We ain't doing that shit because I lost.
We ain't both drowning out here.
Yeah, listen, I lost hats, glasses,
dang.
And I mean, I miss those things.
Wow.
And I had to ride.
Yo, you remember
when
Tyrese lost a chain on some jet ski shit?
And no, it was like, I don't remember that.
Yeah, no, it was it was in the days of the bling.
Ah.
So of course he's on MTV. He put on one of those big pieces, and the whole staff was like,
did he cry?
You can't go out on a jet ski with like hundreds of thousands of dollars around your neck. He's like, I'm
Watch
Tyrese.
Me.
I do what I want. This nigga fell in the water, came back with no chain.
And that's why
robbed
you're
by the sea.
And that's why your goofy ass needs the Big Will and Jada for $5 million.
Right, he doesn't make good decisions.
We're not here to talk about Tyrese.
We're not here to talk about Tyrese.
Wait,
we have more guests here. We have more guests. Go ahead, introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Justin Ingalls. I am a music artist.
Hey.
First time here, so...
Hey, little background. Justin and I go pretty far back, several years.
What's up?
We were doing shows together, originally from Omaha. Mm. Like,
nice.
We're out here doing that grind, you know, like on that, like, the intersectionality of LGBT and black performers tip. We're out here doing college shows, out here doing all types of shenanigans.
Yeah. God's work.
Sweet.
If y'all don't know, this boy is so talented. I'm going to just give you your roses right now. He's so talented. I respect you so much because you're completely like self-made, and that speaks to my own story too. But like, my man's out here is putting in his work, just like writing his own stuff, producing his own stuff, the choreography, everything from top to bottom, like self-made. So. Young man, rumble.
Yes.
Put
that in there.
Oh, and our final guest.
Okay.
Yep.
What's up, everybody? My name is Jordan. Jordan Gregory.
Hey.
I wear many hats. First and foremost, I'm a music artist. Behind that, I am a choreographer, creative director, actor, casting director, stylist. I write. I do everything. Songwriter.
Yes.
Put that list down. Give him that list. Give him that list.
Working, and I'm tired, but I'm still working.
Facts.
Facts.
First story.
Yeah, I've I haven't had a chance to actually attend, but you hold these dance intensives
here
around the area pretty regularly, like
absolutely.
Like out here doing it for the culture.
For the culture and the community, I mean, especially for, so I've got a dance company, and then I've created another intensive. So the intensive is to mainly to bring professional working choreographers from LA, markets like Miami, New York, bring them here specifically in the style of hip hop for people who want to have a career in that but may not have the knowledge or the resources to make that happen, because it's very possible. I don't know what it is with this mindset that we can't do it, but it really is possible. And then I have another company called Rebel City, which is mainly for dancers of color, minorities. I see a lot of studios around here that are just white. And you might see a sprinkle of, you might see a little dot on the sheet here and there. But where is the space for us to fellowship and revel and learn and grow? And nine times out of ten, we're born with the sauce anyway. So
you ain't lying. You ain't lying.
We're born with the sauce while they pay for that. But the thing is, like, we're not feeding our kids. We're not feeding their minds. You know, we're not exposing them to things. So that's what Rebel City is all about. We're
going
to start performing this summer. You'll see a lot of us. And it's just getting started.
Fantastic.
So, man, this is so exciting right now. I love this table. This
I'm here for this. You don't even
this
know.
This is a good ass look.
I am here for all of this.
I don't know if you know, but it's a good ass look right now.
Absolutely.
So, gentlemen, we've assembled today.
By your powers combined.
For a review show. We doing reviews. We out here talking about, you know, what's going on, what's popping this week.
Yeah.
The things that have gotten our attention.
Hold on.
What?
Before we do that.
Everyone else?
What?
Did anybody else watch Sunday service today?
Praise Jesus.
I did not. I slept in.
Okay. So, I know everybody hates Kanye. Yeah.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Everybody hates Kanye's mouth.
There you go.
I'm back on board.
That's
there you go. Everybody hates Kanye's mouth. As these two know, I've been a Kanye fan since before his first album came out. When Through the Wire, I first heard that shit on BET. We were seniors in high school. It was like our senior year. It was the beginning of our senior year.
Yeah.
And I was going into all these different stores like, yo, I need this song. I need this album. I was going to like Best Buys. This is back when like there were still record stores.
FYE.
Sam Goody and shit like that.
I remember fighting my cousin because he called him Kane West, and I was like, who the fuck is Kane West?
Some of his plaques still say Kane. That was a later song, but you know, still. So, Ye and all of his problematic glory has been doing these Sunday service things, and you see like snippets of them online with him doing like live mixing and gospel versions of songs and so forth and whatnot.
I know his wife has been recording them and sharing them.
You know, showing the little kids dancing around. Praise the God. Which, you know, that's beautiful
praise
and everything.
Jesus.
Yeah, praise Jesus. No white Jesus around this table.
I'm here for all of this. Man.
So yeah, I said what I said. He was supposed to do this performance at Coachella. He was supposed to do a performance at Coachella, and they wouldn't let him build the stage that he wanted to build.
Yep, this was last year.
Right. And so they decided that they're going to instead do Sunday service. And I was raised in the church. Best part of church for me was always the music.
Yep.
Outside of that, I really didn't hold much interest, which is held true in my adult life.
Way to stay consistent.
Right, you know, some things you just know. Sorry, Mom. But he did this performance, and instead of, like, he couldn't build a little stage because they would have had to displace porta potties. So somehow this magical Negro got an entire fucking hillside. And packed thousands of people on
there. No, I've never seen no shit like this in all my life. And then, like, the part that was really pissing me off, sorry to cut you off in the middle. The part that really was pissing me off is that it was the camera view of it. Because, like, at the time that I was getting the moment to watch it, to get the moments to come through, I was watching it and I was just like, I really don't like this camera. Like, why do you have this camera at this fisheye?
It was pinhole and fisheye. So it was like ring that you see into and then black on the outside.
And so you get the small glimpses. And so as you're getting the view and you start to look around, you see like, here's this hill. And then you see everybody and like, you see the choir in their Yeezy outfits.
Right. That say Holy Spirit on this dusty like pink look.
I mean, Kanye.
Wait. So
are you guys grown?
I didn't see
that. Wait. That was a.
To be honest with you, when I first saw the robes, I too was like, ooh.
I want
to
see these robes.
Well, I mean, okay. I'm just going to speak facts. I mean, as soon as I seen it, I was like, oh, this is your collection from which year? I just wanted to be like, which Yeezy season
the
was this?
Yeah.
Like, this had to be that one of those seasons.
It's Yeezy like, Easter season. It's
so like it was, hey, speak your facts. Speak your truth. It was a Yeezy season.
Yeezter. Sounds
Sienna,
like yeast infection, but that's
Sienna
cool.
Dirt type of, you know.
And it was like this pink. It was like this dusty, like, rose pink.
Yeah.
So there's this sea. Like, well, okay. So, all right. Let me jump back in here.
Yeah,
because it goes with what
come
you were
back,
saying.
Tag.
So it goes.
Paint a picture, please.
It goes with the pinhole view, right? The pinhole fisheye view. And then all of a sudden they zoom out, and you see them on this hillside, and the entire thing is a giant eye. Like, the way it's set up, Kanye and the band are in this perfect ring in the middle. And then they have, like, this barrier to where you have, like, the greater Coachella crowd out here.
Yeah.
And then you have, like, I don't know, the VIPs, some special niggas over here. That's
speaking.
But when it's zoomed out and from, like, a bird's eye view, it's like, there's a giant eye.
Yeah.
And so it fit then with the overall view, like, through the pinhole.
Yeah.
Then you see, like, Kanye's friends there, like, the things that have stuck by him through all this craziness. Like, there's Ty Dolla $ign hold the mic for whatever reason. I didn't hear him too much.
I'm just here to hang out.
He's trying to get
I'm just
hang.
Glad to be here.
Right. And then,
listen, he needs to talk as much as possible because what happened in Fulton County?
Yeah, he's going through some things right now.
Yeah, there's some things going on in Fulton County.
He's not winning right now.
But, Kanye got him back. He'll be all right.
Prayers to Ty Dolla $ign.
As long as Ye keeps giving away the royalties, he'll be all right.
Yeah, but as long as that writing hand is good, he's all right.
He's good. And then Chance was there in his white hat, like,
of course,
you know, standing out, like, Cudi, because, you know, Ye don't do nothing without Cudi. And then the goddess herself, Teyana Taylor. She retweeted me today, by the way. So if Iman fucks up, I'm in there.
Like, she
Teyana Taylor.
Yeah,
she's one for
Teyana. Yeah, go ahead.
Took
and
a
get
moment
that.
To move. She was like, oh, just changing the baby's diaper. Let me.
Right.
Oh,
you know, because she's saying never would have made it.
Okay.
As like a pure gospel remix with this giant, like, 100-person chorus of all black voices on a hilltop. And so I had to tweet out, thank God for Teyana Taylor. And yeah, she retweeted that. So, like I said, Iman, watch yourself because I'm in there, homie.
It all starts with a retweet,
oh,
right?
My. Not he's coming.
Dreams do come true.
But yeah, so she killed it. And then they were just, I mean, like, they started, like, they've been, like, jazz renditions, gospel renditions.
Yeah.
Like, and it was like hundreds of black people on a hillside having church.
Yeah.
It was fucking amazing. Like, there's really no way around it.
Well, it's really fascinating, I guess, look at the bigger picture. You look at something like Jesus Walks, that's kind of being the seed of this kind of concept of how do you actually blend a gospel and hip-hop aesthetic with authenticity, in the same way that would have raised eyebrows back in the 50s of, like, using gospel to inform R&B and rock and roll and soul music, you know, as you move away from the church into the clubs, to then go back from the clubs and go back to the church in that kind of way of really, really authentically blending those two styles in a way that I think Kanye is doing a great job of orchestrating.
Really, he's bringing it to the forefront because, I mean, church in and of itself, black church has and always will be a club in and of itself.
Facts!
Like,
let's talk about it.
You know what I'm saying?
It really is a club.
Let's talk about it.
Hallelujah. People who want to come in looking their best, all this, that, and the other, maybe in spite of the fact that they really only got home from the club 4 or 5 hours
ago.
Walking in, looking like a pimp.
Still,
don't shoot the messenger.
Exactly.
Don't
shoot the messenger.
And only in there to get a couple of them church hugs.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably slept
church
through
hugs.
Half.
Right,
that H word could have went somewhere else. Church hugs.
Slept through half the sermon, didn't even listen to nothing the preacher was saying. You know, you ain't in there
just,
for
you
nothing.
You in there to repent. You in there to repent for the shit you did the week before.
And then go home and do it again.
And then
go home and do it again.
You got to get right back to it Monday morning.
So, Yavin has now basically let people in on the secret. It's really what it is. Because, I mean, like, gospel remixes are nothing new. Like, right. Majority of black musicians.
Yo, Kirk Franklin has made his whole career.
Right, as being the. That guy.
That guy.
The club man.
He's the Diddy of gospel. The Diddy of gospel. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Diddy of gospel.
But he's not wrong. Diddy of gospel.
Two questions.
I was wondering, like, what does he do?
Is Jesus Walks, is this a gospel song or is this a dope song that sampled gospel?
Ooh.
I think it's a gospel song.
No, he testifies. His testimony is all of is in that, I think. I think. I don't know him personally enough.
I
don't
have really speak on the gospel is speaking the word, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have an opinion on that. I just heard this debate, so I wanted to bring it to the table.
I mean, it started on gospel and they removed it.
Absolutely.
Like, so, like, this whole thing with, like, that little country boy now, Lil Nas X or whatever, where Billboard was like, nah, you can't be on the country charts. Yeah. They did the same thing to Kanye on the gospel charts, like, nah, no, you're playing
a singer. I don't like that comparison.
Speaking of Beyonce, when she had that, Daddy's,
Daddy Lessons.
Yeah, she performed it, and they were like, she
went on CMT, and they pretend like it never happened. Yeah. They were like,
Yep, she was like, I'm gonna do it anyway.
Oh my God. I never heard about this.
You didn't?
She went on CMT.
She went on the CMAs, bro.
Yeah,
she was on the award show with the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah, with the Dixie Chicks.
They came out and they put it. They put it down on some real
Texas
shit.
They could come to the cookout.
For real.
Yeah. Like when Bush was in office, like
they went hard.
Oh, like, I love Dixie Chicks.
Dixie Chicks was like super super big, right? It was real real big. And then Bush came into office, 9/11 and shit happened, and they rent that nigga built. And so they lost like a good chunk of their fan base.
One more question, back to Kanye.
Yeah.
How do we go from Bush hates black people to slavery is a choice?
Okay. I literally had this conversation this morning.
Let me say the reason black people are so emotional about the transition or the state of mind that Kanye is in, because he's such an emotional. He's so important to us. Like what he has done for the culture, the way he has spoken out in the past, and then it's such a 160 to where he's at now.
So before you get into your thing, right?
I'm a Kanye fan.
I'm a Kanye fan. And I said this last year. After that, I was like, you know what? I defended him through Taylor Swift. I defended him through all this, that, and the other.
He wasn't lying about Taylor.
Oh, he wasn't.
He wasn't lying.
Not at all. Kanye West made Nicki Minaj, and I'll say that just for the simple fact that if Nicki Minaj wouldn't have proven that she could actually rap on her feature verse on Monster, she would not be nearly as big as she is right now.
Facts!
I'll die on that hill.
Yep. I'm coming with you.
Yep. As a Kanye fan,
shots!
For everybody, for every single black person
said
they were mad at Kanye for the slavery is a choice statement. How many of those same black people did you ever hear when learning about slavery or anything involved with it, hear them say, couldn't have been me? I wouldn't have been one to stand for
it. Talk about it.
You ain't gonna put your hands on me or tell me what to do.
So I hear no lies.
Same
I don't hear any lies. You're telling the truth.
Who wanted to crucify the man for an ignorant opinion? Which was really misconstrued. Kanye, and as a fan, I will say this: Kanye West should not do live interviews. Kanye West should filter every single thing he puts out through writing. He should be able to read that shit and be like, you know what?
Media training.
Let me edit this real quick because this ain't the move. But he came back and he clarified that. He was like, just to say that when I say that it was a choice, it's like, that's a whole mental block thing. You're going to let somebody control you, da 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 da. Of course, it was different when you have people brought across the seas into a foreign land, separated from their family, put into groups of people who don't speak the same language. Everybody knows that wasn't a choice. Okay? Like, the man said some dumb shit. But, in the sense of, how many of us are living in mental slavery now? It's like, I work in a cubicle. I feel like that's a form in and of itself. I got to go there every goddamn day so I can pay these bills and stuff like that. So, and that's a choice. Like, and that, when it comes down
but
to
what
it,
I will
that
say
is a choice.
I do understand what he was trying to express.
Yeah.
I think the words didn't come out right.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Right.
Because I can't lie and say I don't rock with what he's saying. To an extent, I do.
Yeah.
But I understand both sides. I think they're not trying to understand it.
Right, because everybody's hung up on the historical context. And when I say hung up, I mean it was a travesty that happened to our people. It's not something that we're ever going to get over. Everybody's saying, get over it.
And we're not going to.
Kiss our collective ass.
You don't tell me what to do.
Right.
But that chapter's over. As you said, the point he was trying to make, if you look past the very clearly shit-covered exterior of it, was a very valid
void.
And you gotta say, and especially when then a couple months later you find out that the contract he signed to means he can't stop making music until he dies.
Yeah.
Like, and he's trying to get out of that. Like, I mean, he's in a slave contract in and of himself. Like, EMI's so like,
he's speaking his own truth.
Exactly. Like, hey, bro, I mean, you can take breaks, but you gotta do this until you're dead.
Can we talk about how Prince talked about slavery and music contracts?
He wrote slave across his face. So, and changed
his
name.
We love Prince, though.
Rest in peace, 3 years ago today he died. So yeah. Funny that he would pop up like today.
Oh, yeah. Dang.
Yeah.
Oh, that gave me chills.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it's wild that he, you know, put himself in this conversation like that.
But see, that's... You said all the things I was going to say.
Oh, my bad.
No, no, no. You could. No, you could. But let me just... I think to further clarify, you know, how many of us have just gotten emotional and said some shit in the spirit of our feelings without the clarity of what we really meant to say?
Because the thing is, back, like, that's not really
because everyone wants to jump on this man for the shit he says, but they never want to listen to his clarification, his apologies. Yeah. That doesn't get the same energy that when he speaks out of turn. A. B. Like... Why are people so mad at this man for running his mouth? He has never actually hurt anybody.
Right.
Right? The same people that want to be or raised as heroes and on this pedestal who are moving drugs, human trafficking, killing people, like actually doing harm to themselves and to their community.
Influenced by hip-hop.
Yeah. Yeah, he just
this
dropped out of college
is a
and
nerd.
Made beats.
Influenced by mainstream hip-hop.
This motherfucker's a nerd. It said that slavery was a choice. Now, you listen to a nerd tell you that slavery was a choice and got tight about it. Then you got locked up in all types of sorts of in your feelings because the media
who controls the narrative
liked to give you a fucking position of how things look for all of us when we know that young brother or that brother is going through and is still intensely going through some things that we
Kanye
won't.
Kanye lost his mind when his mama died.
And not to mention, I think
that he was trying to hustle Donald Trump to get something better done and got out hustled because...
Did he go? Because Kim kind of stepped in and saved
him. Yeah, she kind of,
but no.
I mean,
until we
see
results, it doesn't mean shit.
Well,
without results, doesn't mean shit.
We've seen small pockets of results. We need to see larger ones.
My thing with Kim is she doing it for real or is she doing it for clout? I can't
trust
Kim Kardashian. Is there a difference from somebody who lives constantly in front of the camera?
Okay. Touché. Is there a difference for her? No. Is there a difference for us? Yes.
Yeah, but we don't live our lives under that same microscope.
That's a fact.
And I mean, with Kim Kardashian being hit in an assist like that, I mean, it's the least you can do for the amount of trouble that you've caused us.
Oh, no, I mean, Kim's been serving black men for years.
As much black dick as this bitch has taken, how is she suddenly going to understand the plight of black folks when she talks to Donald Trump? How is he
going
to be the one to open her dumb ass eyes? I don't think so.
She's been serving black men for years.
But black people, we create pop culture.
Yeah.
We are the pulse of the culture.
Yeah.
We have been.
As you said, we have the sauce. We are born with the sauce.
We've been the pulse for forever. Yeah. And to tie on to what you guys said about Kanye, about him clarifying, I love the way that Charlamagne says it. No one cares about the truth when the lie is more entertaining.
Facts.
And that's the culture that we
Big
live
facts.
In today.
Big facts.
No one cares about the truth because the lie is more entertaining.
And see, this is the best part about this. It's like the soul of Jesus is in all of us right now.
Yeah.
And we're getting, and we've been to this church. And we're getting, well, maybe a little bit. Maybe not all of us.
Yeah, you sit real quiet on this one.
Right. Like,
I'm just letting y'all. This is y'all's hill.
Okay.
I'm just going to fade.
He put the glasses on, sip the tea, just walk away.
I came here to talk about Beyonce.
We don't want to laugh. Where's Beyonce at?
Well, let's go.
I'll say this. You know what? Never mind. Go ahead. You wrap this
up. I mean, I've said what I had to say. That, for me, the best part of church has always been music, and I think it was dope. I also think that it was really, it's almost sad because I feel like that performance, because it was what it was. It was a very large, like, art piece performance, because he had the people, like, interspersed throughout the crowd,
yeah,
like, rimming around people, so you had sound coming from everywhere, and people doing, like, it was majority, like, 97% black performers, artists, band members, all of that.
Yeah.
And so to have them in this space and really, like, putting on this performance, like, there's people shouting, there's, like, it was like a legit church service.
Yeah.
Fucking DMX came out and did a prayer. Real funny.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
He was the only nigga out there, though, that didn't wear pink.
He was the only nigga.
You know, the DMX is still that dude who's like DMX. That's definitely problematic.
No more pink.
That,
yeah.
That I can no longer stand by as a grown in my life. He was like, I'm not wearing pink, bro. Like, I'll come, but.
But I mean, would it be DMX if he? That's just DMX.
Right.
If DMX was in pink, I'll be like, at Kanye West's church service.
Right.
I'd probably
I wonder
be like,
which one of the Kardashians
is,
he was fucking
out. Which one was in line or who
Chris,
they had
definitely
her
Chris.
Up.
Yeah. Definitely Chris Jenner.
Damn, yeah. Chris Jenner.
I see DMX and Chris. That's what my spirit is telling me.
Chris turned DMX out.
Chris needs to grab DMX for a second. Just pull that money through. Let Swiss Beats get them beats through.
And make it happen.
Go ahead and get that motivation.
I wonder if DMX is going to sign to good music now.
It could be. This could be the revival. This could be the revival of DMX.
From what it sounds like, I watch Swiss Beats is one of my favorite people to watch on IG. And as soon as DMX got out, he was like head first, like, listen, I'm on his back. I don't care what nobody else, I don't care who it is, I don't care who's talking. I'm on his back. He's in the studio, he'll be doing whatever he needs to do, I'm on his back. And then from there, I started to see him touring. And so when the tour came about, I was nervous as shit because he's coming here. But sold out.
Man.
It sold out.
I'm nervous.
Like, that's why. So I didn't buy the ticket.
Yeah.
But I catch a friend of mine who lives in New York. And she's at a show. And it's much like a venue that would be like Woolies.
Yeah.
And dude is in pure form, getting busy, goes through all of his hits, gives you that show, barking, and all of the DMX that you're looking for.
And let's not forget, he has asthma. Good for him.
I
learned something new today.
I didn't know that bark is him asking for an inhaler.
Yeah. I'm telling you. But, I mean, to see his show, like, to see it, like, through there, I was like, all right, man. Back to work. I'm cool with this. I like where this is going. So, and then see a Swiss like, yo, I'm in the studio. I got him. And he's like, right. You can see him writing and getting busy. Like, I'm like, man, I just want you to say one thing bad about Drake and Post Malone in the same song. And I would be so happy.
Like, man, don't get me started on Post Malone, man.
We're not here for that.
He already said he wasn't going against Drake, though, because they had an interview and he's like, man, I don't like him, but I'm just not going to say anything to him. So.
I want DMX to sign to good music, and I want to get a song about drugs and robbery with DMX and Pusha T. And then I can go on about the rest of my year. Like,
yeah,
it is what it is.
That would be major.
Complete.
That's all I need.
So to bring us back to Kanye West, I think if he... It really comes back to what is his music going to do next? Because that's what everyone loves him for.
He dropped a new song
and
Sunday Service today.
I think with a new album and this energy that's coming from these Sunday Service performances, I think people are going to forgive and forget, especially if he puts out a banger. If he can repeat
My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy,
we forgive and forget everything else. Why not for him?
I think this next project is his chance to, like, basically just get that free pass and go back to being one of our favorite sons. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hope so. I do. I truly hope so.
And especially something like Coachella, like. That's such a big
that's what I was going to say. It was a wasted audience, though, because you could tell that a lot of them didn't appreciate it. Like, they were extra hype when he was, like, playing his hits. But there were, like, all these, like, deep jazz cut interludes
beautiful
and
music.
Stuff like there. Yeah, absolutely
beautiful
gorgeous music.
Deep.
And people were just, you know, they're just kind of swaying around.
Who
and I'm sitting in my office hype as fuck. Like, I'm in my basement.
Who's playing this piano?
I don't know.
Because it sounded like it was Ty Trivet. And I was like, I don't think
I know
Ty
he
Trivet
did,
plays.
He did one.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
But
he also had, he had a conductor who was standing up who was like rocking everything. And then he had a separate pianist. And then his drummers were on point. Like,
the way
but
he transitioned.
Kanye is only going to fuck with gospel musicians. Like, you know, everybody in there is...
Kanye is a true producer composer.
Yeah, like,
there's beat makers and there's producers and composers.
Yeah, I think he's on that Quincy.
Absolutely.
That Quincy level, at least for our generation,
absolutely.
How to get the right talent in the room.
Absolutely.
Especially when that's really where he started, was producing like
his understanding of music and just like his. My favorite thing about Kanye is like no matter what. He refuses to compromise the integrity of the art.
Yeah, he had a live mix Chicago house bit with Chance the Rapper losing his fucking mind dancing on top of the hill today. Like live mix of Chicago house. While Teyana Taylor's just back there gassing up Chance losing his mind, and I'm sitting in here like, okay. Yeah, I mean.
That's a moment.
Right.
That's a moment.
Like,
caught the Yeezy Ghost.
Yeah, for real. Facts.
Through the spirit of Chicago.
Ghost. So we're going to take a quick break, refill these drinks. In the second half, we're going to talk about this new Beyonce homecoming film.
Yeah.
Speaking of Coachella and Big
Beachella!
So we'll talk about that in the second half. We'll be right back. Hold tight. All right, we got our refills. We are back. And the second half is dedicated to the one and only Beyonce Giselle Knowles Carter.
Bruh.
That whole name.
Queen B. King B. The second coming.
So,
hey, Miss Carter.
Let me start this off
by
offering. Whoa, bro, you do. How you already? This is the first time.
when you feel it, you feel it.
I guess.
Know what I mean?
But no, I that guy, Ryan Morrison, I owe Beyonce a sincere and heartfelt apology.
Yeah, nigga, apologize!
The Beehive is pleased.
Come through with this.
Apologize. So B, I'm sorry. Madison, you can eat a bag of this. Did you ever in your life yell at me like that?
She sent me a mental email. Like, that's how it works.
You can help me.
She moved through.
Blue Ivy. Blue Ivy
says
that.
Woo! Yes, she did. Blue Ivy came through with that iPad. Like, apology.
I fight kids. I apologize to her mama. I fight kids, though. Don't forget that.
Equal opportunity.
Bear right. Watch, would you say? You know that little girl got money. She might
scared. I haven't seen anything but God anyway.
She's scared. I'm scared. I got Carrie Hilson.
Don't hit us with that Snoop Dogg ass baby boy like, nigga.
First off, that movie is also a classic.
Yeah, we were respected. John Singleton, what up? We respect you.
Yeah, man. I hope he gets a swift recovery. He had a stroke.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
John Singleton is currently in the hospital because he suffered a stroke the other day.
Breaking news? I didn't know that.
Wow.
Yeah, side news on that, yeah. Man,
wow.
Hold it down, John Singleton. We got you.
This podcast.
I mean.
But, yes, I owe Beyonce an apology because for years I was like, ever since Dreamgirls, actually, specifically, I was like, you know what? I don't get the hype. Like, yeah, she's a beastly performer. But whatever, she ain't like singing. She's a step above mediocre. Like, you know, like, yeah, what I used to say. And that's why I'm here.
It's okay, growth.
It's right. I'm here to eat crow and apologize and say that it really was funny, right? So I saw that she dropped it. She's like, oh, Beyonce dropped Supply's album to couple with the Netflix release. And I'm at work. And so I started playing the album, right? I opened up Spotify, turned that shit. I'm like, oh shit, she's on all the streaming platforms. Like, she's really about to get this money. I get five tracks in, and I hear some of the mixes she's done and the band and everything. And she dropped a Back That Ass Up into Formation.
Yep.
And I'm just like,
yep.
And I turned it off. And I just turned it off. I was like, I gotta watch it. Like, I was just like, oh shit.
Yeah, don't listen. You need to watch.
Right. I'm like, so I just turned off the whole thing, went home. Set the kids down. I was like, nah, it's time to watch Beyonce. I think my son's balls dropped that day. He's 8, but he's been talking with a lot more bass in his voice all of a sudden.
Listen!
He wants the Beyonce.
Exactly. Like, he found God in a Beyonce Coachella performance. So, yes, I owe an apology. It was everything that people hyped it up to be. So yes, I apologize to Beyonce and the Hives.
Yo, very rarely does a show really deliver on the hype of the show.
True.
Like, I've seen a lot of stuff in my lifetime, and you know, it's a rare situation where something really delivers on the promise and all that. And yo, like, okay. Since we're having confessional time, I've always respected Beyonce, but like,
didn't really like her.
There was a lot of music that didn't do much for me.
Like, wasn't really sitting with you well.
Am I the only original B fan here?
Like, oh, no, we're not gonna do that. Like, okay, you know, I'm gonna break it down, but okay. I'm gonna let everybody else have their little moment. Like,
I always prefer Kelly.
There were some bangers, you know what I mean?
I respect Kelly too.
And that's cute. Yeah. We got Kelly. We're gonna hold Kelly down. Yeah, we're gonna hold Kelly down.
Her whole career has been building to this, you know, to being what she has become.
Yeah.
And knowing that when Destiny's Child came out, that you could telegraph that and go, oh no, they're trying to make her into, you know, a huge star.
She's Michael.
Kind of taints it a little bit, because you can see that she's making the moves to get there.
Yeah.
Just like Jermaine had fans.
Yo, Jermaine had fans too. Jermaine had fans too.
Hey, Latoya Luckett.
Latoya did okay. She's
somebody. Like,
she's
Hey Latavia.
I was really proud of Michelle didn't fall.
No,
before
R and B D was in.
But from top to bottom, I was like so just like riveted. I was entertained. I was moved. Like, yo, this is like,
I had my pizza and my ice cream and I was good.
To add on what you're saying, I think people, a lot of people relate to that point that they were trying to make her a star. I think Beyonce made a choice a long time ago that that's what she was going to be. I don't think there is a they.
Yeah.
I think she is the they.
She stepped out.
Her team just went along with the plan. I think she had a master plan.
Well, you see it, and then you look back and all the stuff she's done, it's kind of hard not to. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, the sun's going to shine.
Woman.
You can't escape that shit. You know what I mean?
She's an intelligent woman.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, whether I've ever liked her music or whatever, I've always respected the hustle. I've respected that she's a boss. I've always respected that, like, it's not that she's anything necessarily original, but it's her timing. Like when she dropped Beyonce without any kind of hype, without any kind of announcement, no PR campaign, no radio single, it just happened to just show up in iTunes one night, and you had to buy the whole thing to see the vision of what she had created. Like, that was a game changer. That was that move from being like, oh, I'm this radio artist, to like really becoming, I think, her own unique individual in the kind of pop culture, pop music narrative.
Yeah.
And then seeing just every step to keep upping the ante and to keep reinventing and redefining what that is and what that looks like. Also as a wife and a mother, holding it down, like, yo, they call her out her name, like, yo, I saw these white men like trying to drag her for drunken love. Like, yo, she's singing about being in a stable relationship with her husband and wanting to fuck her husband with her husband on the track, and people be like, ugh, but she a slut though.
Wait, how? Explain
this to me.
Who had a problem with this?
The typical.
Yeah.
Wait, who had a problem with this?
The typicals.
The usual.
Who?
It's the same dude. It's the same dudes. That got the incognito window up right now with nothing but ebony pouring on it that has something to say about it.
Or one of those same Corvette car posters from the 80s, like, with one of those big bitches with big titties hanging out on the front of it. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna get my little Stan moment in real quick. Let me just go ahead and pull through. I'm not really a Stan, but you know, I rep for the Hive. I'm just gonna be pulled through. This was amazing. On an account for sometimes some of us don't have the ability to see Beyonce and never be able to have that concert experience. And what happens with some of these people now or with stars now is that they can now up the ante. So buying a Beyonce ticket is going to be a car payment or next to
fucking mortgage.
Yeah, I mean, it's real talk for you to enjoy that experience. It's going to be sick. So watching this Netflix thing, like, shout out to Netflix, you did the right thing and you picked the right one, because that money is going to stay
$60 million,
stay
y'all.
Coming through for you.
$60 million. How much did Chappelle get with his Netflix?
And I don't think, I mean, let's just go ahead and put
also,
her.
I mean, he's going to make more off of that because actually he won a Grammy that definitely revived his career as far as putting him back in the spotlight. Yeah, yeah. So he'll be all right. but yeah, Beyonce earned every bit of that fucking $60 million.
It's just, right? And just all of it. Straight it's like the whole package was like really dope. I watched it with subtitles because I wanted to know and hear every word and see everything that she was saying. There's just different pieces and parts of it that like I was just, I would be in awe. Like, The band behind her playing Diva.
Yo, the girl.
The band behind her playing Diva.
The baton,
yo.
Her name is Diddy Ema. Diddy Ema.
Diddy Ema.
Yes. She's Nigerian. Yo,
She's sick. But.
Wow, that's unnecessary.
Just,
pick up the chair.
Right, sorry.
Karen B. This band version of where was I? The band version of what she was doing with Diva, and like reading the subtitles and listening, and then like you actually get to hear her say, like, you're listening to her like in a stance, but like I'm listening to the words that she's saying when she breaks down in that breakdown. 16 in my stilettos, I'm strutting in this game. What's your age is the question when I walk on this stage. 16. And I mean, you've been doing it before that because, like, you had your run with
Girls Time,
and that didn't work out. And so you've been consistently doing this. And then the kids, I'd like to put this with Kanye too. The kids, the second comings, it's real as fuck.
Chloe and Hallie.
I mean, we can put Chloe and Howie. They're cool and all. Much granted to them because they do sound Beyonce and Beyonce Jr. But
they do.
To
they
hell Beyonce. With them, yeah. The clone, Blue Ivy.
Yo, everybody says she looked like her dad. No.
No.
She looked like me right now. She looks like
me. Yeah, she's starting to look worse. Yeah, she's growing into looking like her mom.
Thank God.
But I'm very nervous for all of y'all in y'all's pockets because she's going to stay in.
You see the clips of Blue doing rehearsal?
Doing the rehearsal. But wait. It gets even better.
She was getting them together.
It gets even better. It gets to the end and she starts singing Lift Every Voice and Sing. And you're looking at this little 6-year-old girl sing the Black National Anthem.
And hitting
the notes. Not to mention, while she's playing with you, she's hitting runs at the same time and stopping her mom, where her mom is double taking to look like, oh wait, I didn't show you nothing about this. Oh no, I have been showing you everything about it because you get to sit in the stands.
Yeah,
she'll take notes.
She's
so she got a front row seat.
The second coming is crazy. I can't wait to see what happens with Northwest too, because Northwest is singing her songs with her dad. During services.
She did like spend the entire verse of Jesus Walks.
She gonna be a problem. Like,
yeah.
A
big problem.
Especially with her grandma. That money, they know he'll be like,
yeah.
Granny.
It's just a matter of time. It's just, but to see how like human she was and just like the sacrifices, like
they're talking about going through a pregnancy.
Yeah, Mim didn't eat nothing but fruits and vegetables. Like, from the sounds of it, I don't even think she even ate eggs. Like,
yeah, she went vegan. I mean, basically, she broke down like that. She went very strict vegan. Cut the carbs. Cut the bullshit. Yeah, yeah.
Alcohol. Yeah.
No dairy.
That I'm hungry quote is a whole mood. I just want y'all to know when you watch the Netflix thing and she starts to tell you about it, and she sighs and she laughs and she says, "I'm hungry." Pay attention.
She meant that. I felt that in my soul.
A lot of people don't understand that I'm hungry.
Too many.
It is very valid in our day and age.
Facts.
When you deal with certain people and food, that I'm hungry was very clear for me.
Jay, I ended up feeling really super unsympathetic with Jay-Z. Like, because there was a couple lyrics that Beyonce came out here and dropped. And I was just like, She's still healing.
Wait, what did she say? If you do that again, I'm going to leave your ass?
Yeah.
Or you'll lose your wife.
You'll lose your wife.
Wait. When she said, I will bounce to the next dick. I said, oh, ma'am, please don't say that so loud.
And you know LeBron is going through some things right now.
Just to remind him.
And we're submissive right now.
You're back there, but I'm still crazy in love.
Every concert.
I love you, but I remember.
Every concert.
Yeah.
Yo, I just want to say, okay, two important things. Beyonce is so fucking dope. We all know that. But people, like, get into what she's saying and what she's showing you. Like, she's really giving us the blueprint. Like, I think we put her on this pedestal of, like, a superhuman, a god. She doesn't feel that way about herself. I think she thinks of herself as a normal person. What she's saying is, like, yo, you have this capability, too.
Exactly.
What,
so
what, what are you willing to sacrifice? Yeah. There's nothing special about me. I just made a choice.
If she submitted
I made a choice a long time ago. And
she submitted it.
The fact that, how in depth she is, me and Justin were just talking about this, how in depth she is and in tune with black culture, our struggles, and her courage to even speak on it on such a large platform. Because I feel like she's tapped into black culture in three different ways. So like with Lemonade, I feel like that was her tapping in with a very historical point of view.
I feel like as a black man, I felt like, and having grown up with all black women and seeing my mom, aunts, grandmother, all this, I had to go through it, I felt like Lemonade was the closest thing I've ever seen to the embodiment of the black woman's body.
Absolutely.
Like, that was a powerful shit in and of itself.
Absolutely.
Like, she started to make me a believer.
Yeah, if you didn't get it, it wasn't for you.
Yeah.
It's one of those kind of things, like, because, like, yeah, like, oh, this ain't Club Beyonce. This ain't Radio Beyonce.
I'm telling your story.
Yeah.
Our story.
Yeah, this exactly. is, I'm going through some shit. And you need to understand that this happens in life.
Lemonade was like very historical.
Her and Jay-Z.
Jay-Z album was very. That was an intellectual point of view on the black experience, in my opinion.
In my opinion, I feel like the Carters. I stand by this from when we did the Good Music Show way back. I felt like the Carters was Beyonce's way to just be like, yeah, y'all can do what y'all are doing. It's cute and everything, but
I do it better than you.
I run this.
In reference to
everything.
She's dropping, like, talking about her timing, because it was the middle of the whole Good Music run. It was right after Britney Spears had her comeback album, which. Y'all ain't heard shit else about it.
Wait. Hold on. Let me take a moment, because, I mean, we could talk about Britney, but I want to send some positive vibes to her, because
she's
going through some shit with her dad right now, and, like, she had to check herself in, but, I mean, yo, sometimes you run.
Okay, wait. So the Carters, that was a more intellectual point of view, and I feel like Beychella was like an ode to the current black culture to what young people can relate to.
Well, I thought it was HBCUs. A perfect follow-up to her Super Bowl performance from last year.
Absolutely.
I feel like...
Because she was definitely supposed to do that. She was supposed to do Coachella last year, but she got pregnant. So it was...
Yeah.
The timing was spaced out, but it was definitely like to back that, because she got so much shit for that Super Bowl.
Which was amazing.
Right.
And I think... And that was smart. Honestly, it's smart that she actually did... This experience of HBC homecoming, and to give you this look of this historic black college, because not at the same time, like, while this is happening, like, they're dying, they're losing their money. We're not spending our time at those places anymore, because we're losing out. We're missing the point of that. So
Morehouse is really struggling right now.
Exactly. And I mean,
Morehouse is struggling so bad.
That's one among
the
many.
And that's like a low-key move of like how she's
the gentrification of Howard promoting, is in the news right
now. Yeah, promoting the notion of going to these colleges through her art to make people go, maybe I should do my homework and learn more about
I'd be interested to see, like, after Beychella, how the admissions have gone. Hopefully they have gone up.
Yeah.
Because we can't lie, Cosby, Different World, had a huge
And then even carry that
in
the 90s. Like, Living Single kept it up.
Living Single.
Yeah.
Fresh Prince. I mean, almost every 90s sitcom.
And that's the thing, is I think that's part of what's been, I'll say it's been missing.
Absolutely.
Is
it's
how
like
we,
guerrilla culturalism.
How do we have the conversations amongst ourselves to encourage each other to go? Because the thing is, like, when you look at the people who are running those things, like Bill Cosby, Quincy Jones,
Queen Latifah.
Yeah, you talk about these boss entities. who are finding ways to keep feeding the culture and the new generations who are coming up to keep these traditions alive.
Yeah.
Like, that's the stuff that no one's really thinking about. It's happening on a low-key level because it's about seeing that. It's about being able to see ourselves as doctors and lawyers and as the president.
Something other than singing a song or throwing a ball. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but we have to be able to see it. There has to be
more depth.
Absolutely.
Because there is more depth to us. And absolutely. I think Beyonce's show is in that same kind of tradition to say, like, look at all the things that we can do and participate in. Hopefully you'll go out and now follow up on that and participate. Go to a college, get your education, and help feed the culture in new and exciting ways. Because it's like the wave is like, look at all these young black girls who are becoming entrepreneurs. Look at all these people who are in the STEM programs. Look at the wave of where, like, I guess our kids are going to be going.
Absolutely.
It's like, how do we get young black people to save this country, save the planet?
We always have. I think the new generation, they have a different mindset. They want ownership. They don't want to clock a 9-to-5 and then retire. They want ownership. And I think that's so smart.
And it's awesome that they're not programmed that way.
Yeah,
not,
well, we've been doing nothing but preaching into them, like, do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
Fairness, treat people the way you want to be treated. Exactly. Like, put in the work, do what makes you happy. Or, yeah, find what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. Like, it might be hard-ass work, but if you love doing it, then you, by all means, just go after it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, we got a whole generation of people coming up under that belief. So,
Madison, I have a question for you.
Yes.
So during the week, well, right when this debuted, I felt some shade.
I want to talk about it,
but it's not in a mean sense. I just want to ask this question.
I'm curious.
During the week, you were like, yo, I had this idea 5 years ago, so you guys can go ahead and enjoy this all you want. Now, what I would like to know is, as a creative, a lot of times we deal with people doing our shit before, say, we get to do it.
Right.
Or maybe our idea comes and we sit with this idea and we're like, yo, I got this idea and this can go. And maybe someone else comes along and grabs your idea and expands on it.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? How do you feel after seeing this show?
Yeah.
How do you feel about the idea that you had presented that you wanted to do that you did not have the chance to complete?
Okay. There are some layers here. So let's peel it back a little bit. I firmly believe, I've been taught, that ideas are things. Tangible things, right?
Exactly.
In the sense that a thought is an electrical signal, the synapses in your brain, that those are measurable things, right?
Yes.
That being said, ideas are real. I believe that in the spirit of ideas being like living creatures, they come to us through us to be created, to exist. And if you are not willing to take the steps to make it happen, it'll find someone else who will do it. So that's why, like, because sometimes, have you ever had these conversations where you're like, oh, we're having the same idea right now, completely independently, without talking and checking our notes. How did you have the same idea that I had at the same time? Because that idea is trying to be birthed.
Yes.
And it's looking for a vehicle to make it happen. And so that being said, I can't be too upset because the idea had come to me and I did not move on it, so it went to somebody else who could.
Quite well.
So I am not mad at Beyonce in the slightest because it was a dope idea. I know it because it was a dope idea. I had that idea. I lived in that idea for a minute. And I'll say this. Like, so, for those of you that don't know, listeners, friends at the table, I came up in the marching band thing. Yeah. I did the color guard. I was on the drum line. Like, that's part of my musical training. That's part of my background. And I wanted to pay an homage and honor that piece of my life by, like, integrating those elements and embracing that part of myself. So it's not in the sense of the HBCU kind of thing.
Yeah,
but it's more in the sense of, like, the aesthetic, like, I came up in that. I love that stuff.
You had to enjoy the movie Drumline.
Of course.
Yeah, that was a movie.
That was a big deal.
Absolutely.
So that being said, like, I wanted to do something like that on a big platform, you know, these music festivals and that kind of thing, and because I always go extra. I always got to go in as big as I can where I'm at. And so I really wanted to deliver an experience that was more than just, and here's a band on a stage, because that shit is fucking boring.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen that, and I've seen it done better than what y'all are going to try to do. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things. It's like, how do you really step up and speak your truth on a stage in front of all these people? And so I wanted to you know, have the right kind of platform to do something with that kind of size, which was, like, naturally a music festival,
yeah,
which I've, again, never participated in. 8035 has never...
The reason why I asked you this was, as a creative, as a person who's been through the same things that... or go through the things that you go through, I felt the same way. Mm. I didn't go to an HBCU, but I still have backgrounds with being in marching band. I was in the ISIS-Arrest. The years that I ran it, they were undefeated years. We didn't. No one.
Did you used to dance in ISIS-Arrest?
Yes, sir. If you ever saw a big ass dude,
yes,
that was over about 200 pounds.
Hold on, Midwest Swing. I used to dance with Midwest Swing.
And ladies and gentlemen, I was with the Midwest Swing too. I went through every drill team that was in Des Moines,
yes,
because there was no other choice.
Yes.
When you're looking for those outlets, when you're young and black,
absolutely,
and you're in this 4th percentile that we were sitting in, we didn't have a lot of outlets. So you went to different things. I also have dance background. I used to be with Becky Navarro. I used to hang out with her for a while, but I had to get out of that because I didn't want to dance and This Is How We Do It, and the shit annoyed the shit out of me.
That's another conversation. I know her very well.
Exactly.
We can talk about another
thing. As a creative, seeing this and having those backgrounds and seeing what she did, it was like, I was so excited because it was like, man, this is what I wanted to do. This is a thing I wanted to give. Like, I wanted to see a drill team come up and march. I want to see our drum line, who has been with Barack Obama and led their parade. I want to see our people here get more,
exactly,
than what they're getting now.
Exactly.
And to see her do it, to then give you this full-ass view of, like, yo, it's not just the black part, it's the school, the line. This is everywhere.
Drill majors, all of it.
Right. Yeah, it's a
culture.
Because here's the thing is that I saw that she was doing, and something that I try to do myself as well, that I hope others are also striving to do, is, like, these opportunities are spaces where we can all get to shine.
Exactly.
Right? Like, we are a community. We are a family. We are a team, and we have to work in those kinds of ways by finding ways to collaborate and bring as many people to the table as we can in a way that really works. That it's not about this, like, celebrate me and my genius and my brilliance, but look at us and look at how excellent we are. As you said before, we are born with the sauce. And I just want y'all to see this. You know what I mean? And that's really what it comes down to. It's like,
in every facet, though. Like, not just music and entertainment.
That's
like,
what
in
I'm
every
saying.
Facet.
That's what I'm saying. And
keep
and
this
so,
thing going.
Trendsetters.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what I think the really incredible thing is, when you look at, so the platform of Coachella, but also Netflix, look at the entire team that it took. The village that it took to create this child, right? Think about how many dollars get moved around in our economy, within our communities, by employing all of these people.
Yeah.
Because she could have showed up with a tight little thing and done her usual thing and the costumes and whatever. But you're talking about hundreds of people on stage. You're talking about hundreds of costumes, which means you need a costuming team, you've got camera crew, you've got sound techs, you've got all of these people all working together to make this thing happen. And then they're gonna go out and they're gonna, you know, buy clothes and go drink coffee, whatever they're gonna do, buy a car, whatever, right? Like, these are big moves that at this point are kind of immeasurable, because there's an economic impact. There's a social impact that is so much deeper. Because we're not talking about the million-dollar deal that she got to do the show, or the multi-million-dollar deal that she did to create the film. Rather, that this could also potentially be $1 billion of economic traffic in our community. And that's the big thing right there to me. It's like that's some shit that's like that's deeper. Those are the boss moves. And those are the things that we should be striving to do.
Do they even recognize, like, is anyone else having that conversation? Like, we're talking about the glitz and the glamour, but, like, is anyone else talking about how deep that is? That is important.
But see, that's the thing, too, though. That is those humongous. Important things are the things that are just going to happen. They're going to happen organically, and it's going to be the people who are in it, who are living it, who are going to be talking about it, like we are right now. You know what I mean? And so, and then, just like with everything else that we do with that naturally born sauce that we have, people will catch up.
Yeah.
And it's not up to us to force it to happen. We just gotta do what we gotta do, play our part, do our work, and then let the world see what it is, and then, you know, fight it. That's gonna happen.
Try to figure a way to duplicate.
That was a word.
I think we should cut it there. I think that's a good spot.
So, I think we should just go ahead, because I mean, how did everybody feel about it? Just a real quick run back of how you felt about Beyonce's background.
All right, I'll start.
Go ahead,
and we'll circle around back to you.
Cool.
Good?
Yeah.
All right. In a word, just one word: electrifying. Electrifying.
Yeah. It did move my spirit. It did. I don't know if I can do one word. I'll say inspired, motivated, transparency. And I ain't gonna lie, it made me kind of emotional. Some parts of it did make me emotional.
For me, I would say very, very inspiring, especially like being an artist and not thinking of like college as like my first go-to. Like, I wanted to do music, and so like seeing that happen and seeing that, you know, like it's possible to do all aspects. It's possible to like get, you know, where you want to be, especially as like a black man and a black man in the LGBT community. Is not easy. You know, you get like different looks, you get different judgment, you don't get viewed the same, you don't get the same opportunities, especially just being black, you don't get the same opportunities. So seeing that as like a black woman headlining Coachella, for the first black woman to headline Coachella ever, which is crazy to me. It's like, you know, it set the bar. Like, it's good for all eyes, honestly.
Yes.
Big thanks.
For me, this was right on time for being a creative. As a fan, it was right on time because, I mean, you're coming off of the Carters, but I mean, all stands are always looking for something new, or what can we get? And so this whole thing around, I'm just grateful that I got to that I got to see this, like, this normal human being do some extraordinary things. And then after she gets finished doing these extraordinary things, she then looks at you and says, "Listen, you can do the shit just as much as I am. So if my country ass can do it, you can do it." And I don't know what could be more truer than that. Like, if someone else can do it, it's pretty achievable. So you've got to go out and go make your way. I mean, even if you're not just a musician, or you're not a person who wants to be in entertainment, you can just be the best insurance agent. You can be the fucking Beyonce of the insurance agency. Like, right. Just handle your shit. Like,
I love that.
It's just, that's the thing. Like, it's just, this woman has found her place and she found her calling. She worked hard and she made a fucking way, and she's still doing it humanly with all of the human things that happened with us. So it was just, I'm grateful to see. It was grateful to see her just in all of that whole show. Shout out to black people. Just keep it going.
Man,
you black girls.
I want to have a shout out to all black people everywhere.
You black girls.
All right, that guy Ryan.
Again, let me just say that Beyonce has 100% absolutely earned my respect. Because there for a long time, I just really wasn't impressed. Like, yeah, okay, she's very attractive. She's a hell of a performer, blah, 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 blah. All of that, of course, still holds true, but I get it. I get the hype. And so that's where I say that she's absolutely earned my respect. Like, I look forward to whatever she's going to do next, because I really just hope she keeps shitting on people's expectations. Like, yeah. You know, keep being great, and I'm here for it.
All right, so let's quick run down your social media handles so people can follow you. You know, we always try to pay it forward a little bit. Yeah. So go ahead, drop your info.
You can find me on Instagram at _JGW. You can find me on YouTube at Mr. Busy TV. Yeah.
All right, you can find me on all social media handles at Justin Ingalls, and YouTube, just search it up, Justin Ingalls, and I will pop up.
If you know my name, then find me, because bitch, I ain't telling you shit. That's 100.
Exclusive.
I need an exclusive.
That's on baby.
I'm just an unknown. If you don't know, then you don't know.
Then you don't need to know.
Period. I said what I said.
I said, my name is my name.
Yo, thanks.
So I want to thank y'all for coming out today and hanging out with us and, absolutely, you know, having some drinks with friends.
I do.
Of course, keep listening, keep sharing. If you have any comments, thoughts, ideas on what you've heard today, drop a comment, send us a message. We're always happy to shit all over your opinions. And any other final words?
Stay black.
Stay black. Stay excellent.
Stay black. Black to crack.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to our sponsors.
Andro DSM, Power Up.
Susie Sweet Treat, Secret Ingredients Love.
Not cocaine.
We'll catch y'all next week. Same black time.
Same black channel.
All right, peace.